coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We are back out here at Tanner's at 30th and Yankee Hill. We got Husker Online, Sean Callahan, for us the rest of the hour. Come out and check out Tanner's Burgers and Tanner Lips. We got Aaron Davis in here sitting in for DP, talking a little recruiting and where Nebraska goes from here.
We got our wing order in, too.
We got our wing order in. I'm trying these char buff wings. They come highly recommended from Sean and AD. Sean, I wanted to ask you, I'm always interested when, you know, because whether you're talking about assistant coach or head coach, recruiting is just as important as wins and losses. In some places, it may even be more important. What, in your mind, makes a coach a good recruiter versus, say, an average or bad recruiter?
Want to just drive.
Right.
I mean, Bill Bush, I've been at some public events with him, and his wife was a former Husker cheerleader, Laura, and at St. Michael's last year we had an event, and he goes, honey, stand up. He goes, people always ask me why I'm a good recruiter. Look at my wife. He goes, I can convince any, you know, he's a salesman, and he just has a way to go about it. But you have to grind. Like a guy like Bill Bush, when he wakes up in the morning at like 6 or 7 in the morning or whatever, he's putting out like 30, 40 texts to all of his guys.
Yeah.
All of them.
That he's recruiting.
And then even contacts and people around the country. He just says a good morning, you know, just constant dialogue all the time.
So that, I mean, essentially it's just going to work, right? You have to really believe in what you're selling, per se, right?
Like Vince Merrow at Kentucky,
he was an excellent recruiter.
And he's one of the best in the SEC now. Right. And that's how, I mean, Vince could claim a connection to you. Like, he'd figure out who you are, and he'd know someone that know you, and then, like,
and he's going to find it out.
And then get a dialogue with you.
Right.
Sean, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, this is always blows me away. You know, radio is still something that's very new for me. You know, all this stuff is still new, you know, for less than a year.
You're good at it.
Well, I don't know about good at it. But I look at, you know, I was just kind of, you know, obviously I've known about you for a long time. We've met in passing things. But, you know, I'm letting listeners know, too, Sean had wrote a book, and some of you don't know about that, 100 Things Nebraska Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. You don't just talk about it, go on Twitter, do a little research. I mean, like you mentioned about Coach Bush, you pour yourself in. You're committed to this. You're not interested. You're committed. And there's a lot of people that are interested in sports or interested in journalism or interested in football or interested in coaching, but they're not committed. You've committed to this. What's now your commitment? There's probably not a recruit we can't say right now that you haven't heard of before. You can spout it off because why? You're committed to doing it. That commitment right now, what does Mickey and those guys have to do right now is what I want to say, because that's our coach. Mickey has that same type of commitment. Bush has that same type of commitment. Like you mentioned, every morning he's waking up just shooting off text. Is that what's going to take to really rebuild this thing?
Yeah, and you've seen it with Mickey on the in-state front, just the urgency. I mean, without stepping on toes, like he just said, I'm going to take these certain guys on the in-state, you know, and – it used to not be that way. And he's like, hey, I'm taking Bellevue West now. Yeah. I'm taking West Side. I'm taking Lincoln East. I got Lincoln High.
Right.
You know, there's too many kids in the state this year for one guy to handle. And I think Mickey recognized maybe that there were some blind spots and areas where he needed to come in and deal with Cluster Johnson or talk to Damon Benning and talk to Larry Martin.
Right.
You know, have that connection to go into these schools. Right. He played with Creighton Prep's coach, Tim Yonk, at Nebraska. Mm-hmm. So I think Mickey recognized, like, hey, I can help us here on the in-state. Right. I coached at Omaha North with Todd O'Neill, their OC that's still there. So he just is able to go in there and I think help in those areas. And his Louisiana recruiting and, you know, Trey Palmer. I mean, he's probably the best receiver on the team right now.
Oh, yeah.
He got him to Nebraska in one phone call.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Sean, I wanted to ask you, you know, the recruiting and Nebraska's done well recruiting. Like, when you look at their classes every year. I mean, heck, one year we beat Michigan. You right?
I mean, Nebraska's been
in the upper half of the Big Ten,
20 to 35-ish.
Right. So that's mm-hmm. I mean, that's decent. Where is the disconnect from the classes that we get, at least on paper, to what ends up being the product? Because I think that's really the lost in translation right there, whether it's lack of development or missing or just the lack of mm-hmm. seeing the right things to what we're seeing on Saturdays. Because they're I mean, you always had this hand. We can't recruit all these linemen for years.
And miss on them all.
When Mike Riley was here, it's not like you guys were good in high school, then everybody just supplants themselves in Lincoln, and all of a sudden can't you know, everybody turns into a turnstile. So what is the missing potion, per se?
Well, yeah, in recruiting, you look at those rankings, the top, like, six or seven teams, like, they're at a different level.
Yeah.
Alabama,
yeah,
Georgia,
sure.
Ohio State,
Clemson
mm-hmm. Notre Dame,
yeah.
LSU,
right.
USC. Like,
all of
that
them.
Group of teams, Miami.
You can even take the top, like, 12, 15.
Like,
but we're just talking about in our wheelhouse.
When you get to where Nebraska's at in the rankings, right. there is not a lot of separation in those classes.
Right.
You know, it's one guy here or there that moves you up five or six spots.
Right.
But then it becomes down to, do you really know your guys? Did you identify them? Did you develop them? And you look at some of the classes that Scott had that were highly ranked. They got like a big boom on guys they signed late that they didn't even really know. I mean, like Travis Fisher signed like four or five Miami kids.
Yeah, and they were gone in like six
months. During COVID, right? They were out of here.
And I use it like, okay, it's like you meet a girl in Vegas and get married to her in Vegas. Like you had a hell of a weekend in Vegas.
Yeah.
But then you bring her back home to Nebraska.
Yeah.
And you find a few things out. Like,
what happened in Vegas? I should have kept it in Vegas.
I mean, you get like DeAndre Francois here. And
yeah.
He just in the middle of the night packed his stuff up and left to go to the airport.
Right.
Marcus Fleming didn't want to practice, and they said, oh, you're not going to travel to Iowa then because you're not going to practice this week. You're hurt after he just had like 90 yards against Northwestern
yeah.
the previous week.
Yeah.
And he goes, fine, then I quit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that.
You can't foresee.
But you have to find the right cultural
right.
guys. And you guys have probably been to Miami, right. Florida. It's a different world.
Yeah. It's a different world.
Yeah. The guys from Miami have been working other places, though. Because if it can work up in Wisconsin – They getting brothers all the way up there. It's colder.
You got to have the culture established.
Right.
See, what you just said, Sean, is culture. When I was just in Miami a week and a half ago. In fact, we did the show, was called in from there. And they had guys from Miami grads, Florida State grads, and was one from Georgia. And then I was up in Wisconsin last year. And I was there during the wintertime. And it irks me when I hear people in Nebraska or just say, well, it's hard to bring people here. I was getting people there. North Dakota's getting people there. South Dakota State
find the right
has got
ones.
People right there.
Like
from
okay.
all over the place. From
DiCaprio
the
Boodle, I'll give you a good example of him. He's a Miami guy.
Yep.
Right. His brother's committed. They had him locked up in like June of his senior year or whatever. Like
right.
they had
They're
him
going into senior year.
You know, they had a relationship.
Yep.
You know, they courted him. They got to know him. Oh, then they found out his brother played football at UNO. You know, his brother played.
Yeah.
He already had a brother. It's like,
right.
Then DiCaprio Boodle ended up being a great, you know, good NFL player.
And they only knew that, Sean, because they got to know him, a relationship, and establish that.
So, yeah, you have to, you know, you got to identify your guys early in recruiting and build that core. You know, like Jaden Doss, Kansas City guy, he's tearing it up right now at Ray Moore Peculiar. Had a game with like five touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of guy you want here that you can get on campus, get him here multiple times. And Bill Bush worked it hard. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I look at our quarterback recruiting for this year, I thought it was so interesting. We had four Power 5 quarterbacks this year that could drive to Lincoln. A Des Moines guy, Jamie Cole's kid.
Yep.
You had a kid in Pierre, South Dakota,
mm-hmm.
Gretna, and Wichita, Kansas. And
the Bellevue West kid.
And the Bellevue.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the Bellevue West kid's a junior.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Those four guys are Power 5 offer senior quarterbacks.
Right.
I've never seen that many in one year that could get here within
driving distance.
Yeah. And we take a guy from, you know, far out Massachusetts, and Mark Whipple believed in this guy, but – I know, like, they wanted – I mean, there was some heavy interest in Avery Johnson, who's going to Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they looked at him hard. And Jamie Cole's kid, JJ, I think was interested in Nebraska, and he was the Elite 11 MVP. But, you know, I'll be – and maybe I'll eat my words here, but, yeah, it will – this kid from Massachusetts – I don't see that.
Is he a dual threat or drop back?
He's a dual threat. He's a great athlete, great player. But is he a fit? You know, when you have these four cultural guys that are right around here that – might be better fits. I mean, and that's where the coaches make the money. They have to make those decisions.
Right.
And, you know, I just this was a year where I'm like, man, this is a year you could have gotten your quarterback right in this region.
Mm-hmm. Talk real quick, Sean, because with Mickey being named coach, and when I watched Avery Williams from New Orleans, defensive end.
Ashley Williams, excuse me.
I saw a football player. I saw a guy playing against real talent and dominating. Now, whatever happened, happened. Do you think that door is going to be opened again?
So, I think you're right. Cam Linhart was
decommitted.
Was a Dawson Schneider guy.
Right.
And there was a little bit of
– Yeah, I know there were – behind the scenes.
Because they took the Mickey
didn't want to take more than two defensive ends.
Because they told Maverick Noonan.
Yeah, and all that, which – That might be in the next segment. I don't ever believe in promising kids, but I understand Danny, you know, legacy and all that. But Ashley could play.
So,
and he's a top 100 kid.
The defensive staff had their sights on Linhart.
Right.
Mickey Joseph took the Williams commit, I think, without kind of running it through. And it caused kind of a situation.
Right.
And then it allowed Ashley Williams. He tried to commit to Minnesota first.
Oh, I know.
Then he went to Nebraska.
Yeah.
Now he's at Auburn.
Wait, Auburn.
Well, what's going to happen at Auburn?
Right.
So that's why I'm asking.
I do think there will be an opportunity
to
get him back.
Especially with Mickey.
And then Linhart, the first minute that Shenander was fired, he announced he was gone.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And that's to be expected.
Right.
And that's also should be expected, but then also you need to be respected because it lets you know Shenander actually, you know, was recruiting.
Absolutely.
So that lets you know it wasn't all bad, even though he got relieved of his duty. So I'll always try to give the coaches their kudos when they were doing, you know, what they were supposed to do. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. And I want to ask you in the next 1 minute, how many recruits will Nebraska have in this class this year?
Well,
I'm putting you right on the hot seat.
Notre Dame. Yeah.
You're the veteran. You didn't know what you were getting today, man. You're getting here. I'm asking all types of questions.
It's a hard question to answer because we don't know what's going to happen on the roster. But I can tell you what they wanted it to be.
Right.
Like before like all this has happened, that they were looking at 17 to 18 high school recruits and then backfill the rest with the portal.
Late. Yeah.
December.
Yeah.
You don't like that. That was what the plan was last year, and everybody like freaked out,
right?
Because you didn't even know that you don't know who's going to go in the portal. That's
right.
The problem,
yeah.
And then you got to figure out these portal additions in like a month,
right?
And you got to go to Vegas and find a girl, basically. And,
yeah,
you know it's.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. Well, we don't know. We haven't been to Vegas that long, so we're going to go to break. We're going to see if we can find it.
We got onion rings here.
Yeah, we got onion rings here. We got some wings coming. We're going to take a couple minute break. Then we're going to get a couple of segments in before we let Sean get off the hot seat. This is Old School. We will be back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.